When my daughters were little girls, children, they're in their 30s now, so this was many years ago, there'd be those times where Mary and I would want to see a movie on our TV. Maybe go to Blockbuster. Remember Blockbuster? And get the movie on a cassette. Remember that? You know, the cassette player. And that's how long ago this was. And remember times Mary and I would get a movie. Usually we'd watch the Academy Award winning movies after they won Academy Awards. That's kind of the rhythm of our life. That kind of lesson, oh, this is worth seeing. We'd get a movie, but we'd say to ourselves, I don't know if this is a movie the girls need to see, you know? And so we'd say to ourselves, let's get them settled, get to bed, we can kind of watch the movie, kind of get them out of the room. And then we would watch our movie. That thought came to me earlier this week as I began reading over the scripture readings for today's Sunday. And I read that first reading from Hosea, and I said to myself, particularly at 9 o'clock service, I'm glad the children are going to be out of the room. You know, I watched them go to chapel and said, okay, that's good. This is working. This is working. You know, and, because that first reading is a little jarring when you first read it, not only for children, but probably for us gathered here. This is the very beginning of the book of Hosea, the prophet Hosea. Called one of the 12 minor prophets. And there's not a lot we know about Hosea as a person, but we do know what we do know and his prophecy. And this is the very beginning. This is God calling Hosea to his ministry, and this is how it starts. Go take for yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom. For the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. So there's a message from God that may seem kind of, what is that all about? That word for whoredom can be translated in different ways. The New Revised Standard Version, which we use, translates it as whoredom. It can be translated as prostitution. It can be translated as promiscuous, not faithful. It can have different translations to it. But let's look at this a little bit. Let's look at this reading a little bit and what it can say to us. Because what it actually is trying to do is tell us how much God loves us. You may say, George, that is a leap. But stick with me. Stick with me here. It is the time in Israel's history where they are about to be defeated by the Assyrians, be destroyed. This is in the 700s of BCE, where Hosea is prophesying. And what God is doing in this call to Hosea is in some ways to live out or symbolize or be an image of who God is. Now, before we get into it, let's just name some things, which is from the culture of its time. It's from its culture with its lens. We may have a different lens now, but the lens that this was written in, the one who is unfaithful, promiscuous, living in whoredom is the woman, and the guy is the one who is portrayed as the one who's kind of caring and loving this person. So let's just name that starting out. But that's the way this story was given to us and written in its time. What's happening is the people of Israel are beginning to sort of lose their relationship with Yahweh, with God. And the covenant that they have had with Yahweh is being broken. They are beginning to worship other gods, the gods of the Canaanites. They're worshiping the god Baal, B-A-A-L. Remember my seminary professor always pronouncing that as Baal, Baal. I forget that, for it's stuck in my head. Worshiping these other gods, these other entities, the culture that they were living in. And in a way, they are being what we would use the word promiscuous. They're in relationship with others, and losing this sense of relationship with God, with Yahweh. And Yahweh is calling Hosea in his life, this is the way one interpretation is, to live out his faithfulness to Gomer, his wife, who perhaps is not as faithful. And his call to love her, and care for her, and restore this, continuing to restore this relationship. In many ways, it's meant to be an image or a symbol of God's relationship with Israel. That despite their unfaithfulness, despite their stepping away from their relationship with Yahweh, despite their ways of worshiping other gods, God still loves them. God still wants to restore this relationship. Yes, what they're doing will lead to punishment. Eventually, Israel will fall. The Assyrians will defeat them. And as always, probably ask, well, where was God in all this? But God is always there, wanting to reach out, waiting to continue again in relationship and restoring that connectedness. Some of you may remember back in the 70s, 1972, there was some liturgical music that came out of what was called Weston Priory. And one of the hymns was the hymn Hosea. I don't know if many of you remember that hymn. I'm not going to attempt to sing it, but it is one of my favorite hymns that came out of Brother Norbert's work. But I do want to read the words to this hymn, because it somehow captures this message of the prophet Hosea. And I think if I say these words, if you're familiar with the hymn, you'll know what I'm talking about. It began with, "Come back to me with all your heart. Don't let fear keep us apart. Trees do bend, though straight and tall. So must we to others call. Long have I waited for your coming home to me and living deeply our new life. The wilderness will lead you to your heart where I will speak. Integrity and justice with tenderness you shall know. Long have I waited for your coming home to me and living deeply our new life. You shall sleep secure with peace. Faithfulness will be your joy. Again, long have I waited for your coming home to me and living deeply our new life." Brother Norbert captured that sense of what the prophet Hosea is about. It's a very challenging prophet's book to read, but the overarching message is that this God is longing for us, waiting for us, continuing in relationship with us. And I think what he picks up in that phrase is a sense of integrity and justice. Justice. So what does this reading convey to us living in our time? One of the things, I could say many things, but one of the messages to me is this sense of accepting that God does love us despite our times of maybe not living in fully into our covenant, into the baptismal covenant. But God is always there, looking to restore that relationship, looking to gain again this closeness and this integrity. And not just individually. Sometimes we can look at this as my relationship with God, but God's message is really to God's people. In the book of Hosea, those people are the people of Israel. But the people are really all of us, all of humanity are God's people. And God is looking to restore not just my relationship with God, but our relationship. And how do we stand for justice and restoration in a broken world, in a world in need of healing and wholeness? You know, you've heard this many times, that oftentimes when we use the word justice, we oftentimes think of it as what's oftentimes called retributive justice. It's justice that is sort of punishment. You know, you hear people sometimes on TV when something happens, they'll say, "I want justice. Bring it to them. I want justice." What they're really talking about oftentimes is revenge. I want them to suffer just like the person who suffered it. And that's oftentimes how justice is used. But in the scriptures, the word justice oftentimes is speaking of what's referred to as restorative justice, restoring wholeness where there is brokenness, restoring folks who are on the edge, on the perimeters of society, creating this wholeness together. And God awaits that kind of work. God awaits us to be a people of restoration. God waits for us to stand for justice. And so in our society, in a world where it's become difficult to even talk to one another, to be with one another, God is dreaming of restoring justice, being faithful to the call that God gives to us, and to know that God loves us no matter what, no matter what. And how can we proclaim that and do that? And we do that in so many of our ministries here at St. Paul's. We're called to do that not only in our ministries at St. Paul's, but in our lives, in the neighborhoods, our work, schools, whatever it is we do. To always remember how much God loves us. You know, conclude with this. It's a message, you'll oftentimes hear me say it to our children. I think I say it almost every year to our communion class, and I say it to our graduates. It's never forget that God loves you. Just, no matter what it is we teach, no matter what it is we do, just remember that God loves you. Remember that next year, remember that 20 years from now, remember that 30 years from now. God loves you. I've also been at times in my ministry where I'm with folks who are dying on their deathbed. Some perhaps not totally reconciled with this. And I know some folks who've been lying there, and we've said the prayers, we've done the ritual, and I'll just lean over sometimes and whisper into their ear, God loves you. God loves you. God doesn't know how to do anything else. It's the only thing God knows how to do. And that to me is one of the messages of Hosea. God loves God's people. And God is always looking to restore that relationship. And it's up to us to open ourselves to that love, believe in that, and go about restoring this world, restoring this creation, which is hurting, is in need of healing. And like Hosea, may we go out in love to transform this world.